Second Chronicles, chapter number 34. Way over in the Old Testament. Second Chronicles, chapter 34, beginning in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence. And the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And he brake in pieces and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shepham, the son of Amaziah, and Manasseh, the governor of the city, and Jonah, the son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord, his God. Lord, we thank you this morning that we have the opportunity that we can come and assemble ourselves here in a house of worship. And Lord, this morning that we can take thy word and look at it and apply it to our lives, to make us more what you would have us to be. We pray this morning, Lord, the Holy Spirit might touch our hearts, that he this morning might take thy word and with power put it forth into our lives today. For all that you've done for us and all that you are going to do in the future, we praise you and thank you. And we add it this morning to that which Jesus Christ should receive the glory. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen. If I were to ask a question this morning, what is an altar? I could probably get many different responses. I looked it up in the dictionary and I got several different ideas about what an altar was. But really this morning, as you study the scripture, you find that the way that it's used in the altar, it's a place where you meet and worship. It's a place where people really do business with God. The first mention of an altar in the scripture is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 8 and verse number 20. And usually when you find a first mention in the scripture, it carries forth throughout all the rest of the Word of God. And there it tells us that after the flood that Noah built an altar, and he sacrificed the clean animals upon the altar, and there he worshiped God for God's deliverance of him and his family through the flood. Here in our text this morning, we read about a man by the name of Josiah, a very young man when he came to rule on the throne of Judah. The Bible says that he was 8 years old. Now, I can't imagine an 8-year-old king, but here we find that a young man at the age of 8 assumed the throne of the nation of Judah. And we find that the Bible says something very interesting about this young man today. We find that the Bible says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now that's a great testimony today. That's a great thing that somebody could say about any of us this morning. If we were to have an epitaph written on our tombstone, what greater epitaph could we have this morning than that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord? Doesn't matter if it was right in the sight of men, as long as it was right in the sight of the Lord. The Bible says that he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. That is, he didn't go on a tangent on either side. That this morning he stayed on the straight and the narrow. that he did which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he never deviated from the course that he had chosen for his life this morning. And then the Bible tells us in verse number 3 that in the 8th year of his reign, which would have made him 16 years old, that he began to seek after the God of David, his father. He began to look and to worship and to read and to study and to meditate upon God today. And then in the 12th year, when he was 20 years old, the Bible tells us that he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images today. He was a 20-year-old young man, and the Bible says that he purged Jerusalem and Judah from the places of false worship today. What does that mean when he says it purged them? It means he cleansed them out. That means this morning, very simply, that he got rid of them. The Bible says, and they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence. He was there when it happened. And the images that were on high above them, he cut them down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. You see, he got rid of everything today that was toward the false worship of God this morning. Now, why did he do this? Was he trying to make a name for himself? Well, verse number 8 gives you the reason that this was done. The Bible says that in verse number 8, and the last part of it, it says, to repair the house of the Lord his God. You see, there's his desire. That was what Josiah's desire was this morning, to come back to the real worship of God, to repair the temple that had been breached today, to bring back into the temple of God the authentic worship of God according as God had directed this morning. A 20-year-old young man who decided and made a choice this morning that he wanted to bring back the real worship of God. That was his heart's desire. That was his choice. You know, sometimes we are faced with choices in life. I still have a good friend who was a pastor, and he and I were talking one day about young people when they come and make a profession of faith. And I said, you know, sometimes you want to make sure that they understand what they're saying. And we were sitting in his study, and he reached into his desk drawer, and he pulled out a Snickers bar, and I thought, thank God, hallelujah. And he said, what I do, he said, when they come into my study and I begin to talk to them, he said, then I take out this Snickers bar, and I say, you'd rather have this Snickers bar, or had you rather have Jesus? And he said, you'd be surprised how many take the Snickers bar. There's a choice to be made. This young man made a choice. He said, I want to worship God. I want to really worship God. I don't want to go to the high places. I don't want to go to the images. I don't want to go to the idols. I don't want to go to some false place where they have a false altar. But I really want to get back to where God is. I want to really do business with God. I want to put him where he needs to be in my life this morning. You see, this morning we all have a choice to make many times. We have a desire to have this morning. If I were to ask you, what would your choice be today? Many people would say, well, I want to worship the Lord. I want to really worship God. I want to authentically and reality worship the God of glory. Well, you can do it this morning. All of us can make that choice. All of us can have that desire. But before we do it this morning, we have to understand that there's a cost that is involved. Somebody said, well, now, I thought you Baptists believed that salvation was free. Salvation is free this morning. There is no charge today. Jesus died and paid the debt. And we come unto Him in repentance and faith and find new life in Christ. But as you begin to study, you find that real worship this morning has a cost involved. Jesus said many things in His scriptures. And one of the things that He taught us today, that discipleship, that following Him and worshiping Him, that we have to count the cost. Josiah this morning, before he could really worship, had to make a choice in his life. He had to do something before he could come to the place where that he could really worship the Lord. You see, I'm afraid this morning as I look around our nation, as I look around our world, that not many people want to do as Josiah did. Not many people this morning want to really authentically worship God, because they never see the cost that's involved. You know, sometimes we can have real touchy, feel-good things happen in our lives, and we can hear all of these great things today. But listen to me this morning very carefully. If any person really wants to worship the Lord, if any person really has that desire in their heart, God wants you to worship Him. One of the leading people in the religiosity world not long ago said that worshiping God is feeling good about yourself. Let me make a statement real carefully this morning. Really worshiping God is not feeling good about yourself. Really worshiping God is coming to the place you see God for who He is. You need to read Isaiah chapter number 6 when Isaiah saw the holy God of glory lifted up. And he had to cry, I'm unclean. And I live in the midst of a people that are unclean. This morning when we really worship God, and we want to authentically do as Josiah did here in the Word of God, we have to understand there's a cost involved. In verse number 7, you see his determination. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. The Bible says that he broke down the altars, that he tore them up, that he cut down the groves. That was places where they would go and worshiped these heathen gods. He beat the graven images into powder, and he cut down the idols, and then he returned to Jerusalem. His determination was, no matter what the cost, no matter what happens to me, I'm really going to worship God this morning. You see, before he could really worship the Lord, and before you and I can really worship the Lord this morning, we have to get rid of the hindrances to worship. We have to get rid of those things that are between us and God. We have to get rid of those false altars this morning. We have to get rid of the groves and the graven images and the idols this morning. You see, before you can really worship the Lord, before you can really worship the God of glory, you've got to get rid of everything that hinders and comes between you and God. Everything. You can't leave one thing out. You've got to, this morning, remove all of those things that hinder you coming and doing business with God. Before Josiah could rebuild the house of God, before he could come to a place where this morning that he could really worship God, he had to get rid of everything that was hindering the worship of God. Now, God didn't include this in the scripture just to tell us about what a great person Josiah was. He didn't include this in the scripture this morning just to give us a historical record. But Paul said that he'd give us this morning that it might be for our admonition and our learning, that we might gain something from this today. What God is saying to me this morning, and I believe what God is saying to all of the world, that if you really want to worship God, You've got to get rid of everything this morning that hinders you from worshiping the Lord. You've got to remove all of those things this morning. Let me ask you this morning, what hinders you today? What hinders me? What altars and idols do we have to tear down before we can really worship the Lord? Sometimes people have to think about their family. Sometimes people's families comes in the way of worshiping God. I love families. I think families is the backbone of the church and the backbone of a nation today. But your family can never, never, never take the place of God. Now listen to me carefully. I pastored a church over in Alabama several years ago and had a lady there, and really a sweet lady. And I went and talked to her several times. Several of her brothers and were members of the church. And I asked her one day, I said, well, why won't you come to church? Why won't you come and worship the Lord with us? She said, well, my family comes every Sunday and I cook dinner for them. I said, tell them you go into church. They can eat dinner when they get home or get up early and cook it before you leave. Well, I can't do that. They expect that every Sunday. Now listen to me, folks. I wish somebody cooked dinner for me every Sunday. But I wouldn't want you to stay home from church to do it. You understand what I'm saying? That's a hindrance. Sometimes people put things in front of God. And we can't do that. You can't worship God if you've got something between you and it's just more important to you than God. Jesus talked about that when he said, when the man said, I've got to go and bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Now Jesus wasn't being harmful. He wasn't being hurtful. You see, in those days, the man's father probably wasn't even dead. He was saying, well, Lord, when my daddy dies, down in the road in the future, then I'll come serve you. And Jesus said, can't do that. You can't put you got to come and do it now. You can't let something come between you and the Lord. Sometimes pleasure. Had a young man, and I said, won't you come to the Lord's house? Won't you come worship? You tell me all of these things, and you're so. And we talked a long time, and finally he said, well, preacher, I'm just going to be honest with you. He said, Sunday's the only day I have to sleep late. I have to work the other 6 days. I said, that right? He said, yeah. About 4:30 on a Sunday morning, I went out to get my paper, and here he come by in his bass boat. I thought, well, now, wait a minute. I thought you slept late on Sunday morning. No, bass fishing was more important than worshiping God. You understand? We put things in front of God. And you have a hindrance, and you can't put anything between you and God and really worship God. Anything that means more to you than worshiping God, God says, I can't have that. What is between you and the Lord today? You see, Jesus said that he had to have, or God said that he had to have preeminence. That means first place. First place. Not second, not third, but number one. In all things. We can't allow things to hinder us and really worship God. That's what Josiah did. He got rid and he purged and he cleansed and he said, hey, that's my determination. I'm going to get rid of everything that comes between me and worshiping the Lord. And you see, we have to look into our heart and say, what is between me and God? What do I put before the Lord? What do I put? And what kind of idol do I have? What kind of altar do I need to break down? What kind of molten images do I need to beat into powder and throw out? You see, this morning we allow so many things to come between us and God, don't we? And so many things become so much more important to us than God. Yet, when the rubber really begins to meet the road, that's when we really want God, isn't it? Have you ever wondered, as he talks about over in the book of Ecclesiastes, and talks about how we begin to age and how our bodies begin to deteriorate? And he makes a statement. He said, he talks about you need to remember God while you're young, while you still have that great desire. And I wonder sometimes, as we go through life, and we let these things come between us and God, and we say, hey, all at once we need God. And people say, why did God allow this to happen? Why did this happen? I sometimes wonder, did I put an idol between me and God? What's between you and the Lord today? What hinders you from worshiping God this morning? You see, Josiah had a determination. He had a desire. He wanted to really worship God. And then he made the determination, before I can really worship God, I've got to purge and cleanse, and I've got to get rid of all of this junk before it can really take place. And then he made an agreement. Look over in verse 31 and 32. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. You see, he made a public declaration. That declaration was very simple today. You see, he made a covenant with God. He made an agreement with God. He made a contract with God. He said, God, this is what I'm pledging before you. I'm standing in front of all of these people and I'm making a public commitment to you, God. A public agreement with you, God. And this is what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to walk after the Lord. I'm going to follow the Lord. We need to follow the Lord today.
Amen.
That's what Josiah said. I'm going to walk after the Lord. I think sometimes we want to walk in front of the Lord. But we need to walk after the Lord. We need to follow Him. Then he said, I'm going to do something else. He said, I'm going to keep His commandments and his testimonies and his statutes. Oh, that's, you're mixing law and grace, preacher. No, I'm not mixing law and grace. You're saved by grace. And I'm glad we have the grace of God that sustains us and carries us through life.
Amen.
But I want to tell you this morning, sometimes we have to make a commitment on our responsibility. And that's what Josiah did. He said, Lord, I'm going to keep your commandments. I'm going to keep your testimonies and your statutes. I want to do what the Lord says do. You know, that's basically what he's saying. I'm just going to do what the Lord says do. The passage of Scripture over in the book of John chapter 2, when Jesus was at the marriage in Cana and they ran out of wine, and his mother said to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. One of the sports apparel has a slogan, just do it. But tell you what the Lord says, hey, whatever he says, do it. Pretty simple, isn't it? Do it. Do it. We can't argue with the Lord. Josiah said, I'm not going to argue with God. I'm not going to try and find fault with the Word of God. I'm not going to try to find another translation that says it better. I'm not going to try to figure out some way out of it. Just whatever God says, I'm going to do it. That's what we have to do this morning. Whatever God says, just do it. I remember when my brother and I were being raised by Granddaddy, and when he would leave and leave us something to do, you know what we had to do? Do it. If he told us to mow the grass, if we had to get a pair of scissors out there and cut the grass, that's what we had to do. It didn't matter. Whatever he told us to do, we had to do it. You know what God says? Just do it. That's what Josiah said. I'm just going to do what the Lord says to do. But I like the next part. With all his heart and with all his soul. I'm not going to do it half-heartedly. I'm not going to do it just swelled up and mad about it. You see, that's one thing that sometimes disturbs me is I see people are going to do things, but they say, I'm not going to do it because I love God. I'm just going to do it. You know? Josiah said, I love God. I'm going to do it with all my heart. I'm going to give it everything I got. I'm not half-hearted about it. I'm not cold-hearted about it. I'm just going to do it with all my heart. And to perform the words of the covenant of this book, to perform the Word of God. To put it into practice in my everyday life. That's what he said. Well, let me ask you a question. What's between you and God? And what do you need to purge from your life this morning? Are you willing to do as Josiah did and say, I'm just going to do whatever God says to do? That's the question you have to answer in your own heart this morning. All right, as we stand together, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you to take this very simple message. You to the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' sweet name I pray. Amen.